going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Have you ever felt like a victim? Ever felt like life was constantly handing you lemons and you're still trying to figure out the lemonade part? How do you move from the woe is me to emotional and spiritual empowerment? Well, tonight we're going to try to answer those tough questions. My guest is Dr. Nicole Cutts. She's a clinical psychologist and author of her new novel, The Adventures of Isabel, Journey to Orphalese. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you are feeling down and out and are trying to feel up and over, this is the conversation for you. And certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm great, Harold. Thanks for having me.
Good. Are you sure? Because I'm great, Harold. Are you feeling down?
I'm warming up.
You are warming up. Okay, so let's talk about this feeling like a victim. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it means that you put yourself in a position where you give power to circumstances and people outside of yourself to determine how you feel. And so when things happen to you that are disagreeable, or you perceive them as negative or bad, or you fail at something, or people are treating you badly, instead of taking responsibility for maybe how you could have contributed to it or what you can do about it, instead you just get down and despondent and you see yourself as just the responsibility-less victim in the situation.
Okay, but everyone has bad things happen to them. Is mm-hmm. there a difference between, quote-unquote, feeling like a victim and just feeling blue because, dag, this thing happened to me? Is it the same thing?
No, those two things are different. I think that it's important to feel your feelings. If something happens, feel sad, yes. But in terms of not staying in that feeling and in terms of recovering from it, you need to look at what story you might be telling about it. And if you see yourself as the recipient, just the victim, things happen to you, you don't have control, then you're going to stay in that place. That can lead to depression and other things, and you'll have a negative outlook. So what I try to encourage people to do is to take control, write their own narrative, see their lives as heroes or heroines' quests, and be the heroine or hero of their story. Now, as a hero or a heroine, that doesn't mean bad things don't happen to you, because any story of the heroine is going to involve some defeats. But it's how you recover from that and that you recognize that it's just a part of the journey.
Are some people more likely to handle these things better than others?
Yes. I think that based on temperament, based on experience, based on childhood experience, which helps to shape your brain and how you react to things, some people are just naturally better equipped. But I think that everybody can learn to see themselves as the hero or heroine of their own story. And they can learn to reframe things that happen to them in a way that they are empowered versus being disempowered.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. How do you move from feeling like a victim to emotional and spiritual empowerment? Do you struggle with these issues at all? Have you ever felt like a victim? Want to hear from you. Lines are open. The doctor is in. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay. So what if there are a series of things that may happen to you back to back? Because I think that's when you have situations where people begin to feel like that. So you're mowing the lawn, this is a man thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, I'm just you're thinking about what, they do mow the lawn too, or pay somebody, and so do I, because I don't mow the lawn.
Right.
So if you mow the lawn and the lawnmower breaks down, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. so you know that you gotta stop, mm-hmm. and you gotta go to Home Depot, Lowe's, wherever, yeah. and buy a new lawnmower, but on the way there, you get a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you call AAA or whatever to get, and then they take your credit card, and then your credit card is rejected. Mm-hmm. And so you need a new lawnmower, can't mm-hmm. get it, flat tire, credit mm-hmm. card is jacked up, and it's a hot day, mm-hmm. and you're standing outside. That the anger of this back to back kind of thing, mm-hmm. is that feeling like a victim or is the best way to handle that, you know, it's like bad luck?
I think the best way to handle that is you can be frustrated and you can be a little angry, but if you think about any great tale of a hero or a heroine, a lot of negative things happen to them. And if you're short on material, you can read the Bible, you can pick up all sorts of stories and watch movies where the hero or the heroine goes through a lot of trials and tribulations. That's a part of the journey, right? So if you change your concept to, okay, this is just one of those trials on my road today, you know, if you didn't have any of those things happening to you, then I would even suggest you might not be on the right path, right? You're just skating along. But if you choose to see yourself as a heroine or a hero, you might get down, you might get sad, but then you need to stop and say, okay, what does this mean in my journey? Maybe this is something that's just supposed to teach me something. Let me see it like that. And then you are not just being the recipient of things, right? You're not just getting down on yourself. You don't think the world is against you, because when you start thinking that, you're going to be dragged down. And you need that energy for important things. That's the other part of this, is that if you have a life of purpose, if you have a mission, if you have a vision, then you realize you cannot afford to wallow in self-pity.
So that means make sure the lawnmower is ready to be work before. I'm serious.
Yeah.
You got to make sure it's oiled and lubed and all of that stuff. You got to make sure that your tires are right so that you don't have a flat
tire. All that little mundane stuff that heroes and heroines have to do.
And pay your bills.
Yeah, we have to do all that stuff. And sometimes that gets boring because, look, in real life, every minute is not capturing the Holy Grail, or every minute is not fighting a dragon. But so I look at all those little things. Those are baby dragons to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. So but you do the best you can. You know, you prepare. But even when you prepare, things still are going to happen that are out of your control.
It's the bad things happen to good people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And bad things happen to bad people, too.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Thank you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about moving from woe is me to winning me, emotional and spiritual empowerment. Calvin, calling from Southeast D.C. What's on your mind, Calvin?
I just wanted to talk about a time when there was a guy, we used to call him Dad all the time. He had cancer in his lungs, and I kind of felt he had cancer in his lungs because he was breathing a funny way to be a respiratory problem, but the hospital said cancer. And I felt kind of guilty because all that time I knew it was a lung problem, but I could never get to the hospital any time to tell them, I think it's in his lungs, it's not in his kidneys. And when he passed away, I had went to visit him like 3 days before he passed, and his wife had brought him home to die. He said, I'm going to die. The cancer is in my lungs. It's not in my kidneys. And that woe was me was like, I thought I was guilty for that. And I had to go around, you know, thinking that it's my fault. But I finally, you know, let it go and let God deal with it. Like you said earlier, I finally turned the lemons into lemonade and started to let God deal with it. But it was really a burden on me.
Yeah.
Once I told the family, you know, I knew it was in his lungs the whole time.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Calvin? Thank you for that. And I want Dr. Cutts to address that, because your example, while it's very specific, that's not unusual for, and thank you, Calvin, that's not unusual for people to feel guilty about things that they believe that they could have done mm-hmm. to prolong the life, make someone else's life better. That's very common.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, Calvin, I want to say thank you for calling in, and also sorry for the loss of your father. And I'm glad that you did recover from that. You know, guilt is an emotion that also leeches our energy, drains us, and will drag us down. You know, part of being human means that we can't control the past, and we can't change the past. It also means we don't have control over a lot of circumstances. So what I try to encourage my success coaching clients and therapy clients to do is to practice the fourth agreement by Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote a book called The Four Agreements. And the fourth agreement is to always do your best, you know, under the given circumstances of that day and that time. Not to try to do more, and definitely don't try to do less. You did your best, and after that, then you leave the results, as you wisely did, up to God.
Mm. And thank you so much, Calvin. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michael calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Michael, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Go right ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I think it has a lot to do with how people respond to different things that happen, right? I know in my life, you know, things happen all the time, but I look at the situation and I say, well, that's just life on life terms. Things, you know, just happens, you know. But other people may look at it and become overwhelmed by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But through my own experience, and I heard you mention that earlier, through my own experience, I've learned how to deal with situations a little better. You know what I'm saying? I have this thing that I say to myself, it's not the end of the world, and I can live to see another day. And mm-hmm. that kind of, like, gets me through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I have friends and stuff, you know, any little thing can happen. They can have a hard day at work, and they become really overwhelmed by mm-hmm. that, you know?
Yeah, Michael, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And that kind of brings me to something else, because as we've seen over the past year and a half or so, we've seen a lot of stories related to hostile work environment, sexual harassment of women, and specifically as it relates to the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. In your book, The Adventures of Isabel, Journey to Orphalese, which is the second novel in this series, this fantasy series, but you address some really critical issues as it relates to women and girls and their power and not being victims. That's easy for me to say, but as we have seen, this is not an easy thing to do, because again, what is happening to this woman is not their fault.
I agree with you, and I don't want anybody to mistake that I'm saying if you are harassed or if you, worse, you know, sexually assaulted especially, it's not your fault. But I do call on women and girls to own the power that they have in situations, because what I know and what I've seen is that sometimes we do not use our voices and we don't speak up when, let's say, something is at a beginning stage of some sort of harassment, right? Sometimes people who want to take advantage of you do some grooming. They sort of test some boundaries. And I think, unfortunately, especially because of the way women and girls are socialized, we don't want to make somebody else feel uncomfortable. So we are afraid to speak up. And I think a part of accessing your inner heroine is to say, okay, wait a minute. If I am going to be strong, if I'm going to be brave, what do I really need to do to honor myself, to take care of myself in this situation, and to be assertive, right? So I am not saying that no one is victimized or can't be victimized, but I do think that there are some people who cry victimization many years later or even at the time. And if you ask them, did you say to this person, I'm uncomfortable? Did you say, please do not sit so close to me? Did you move away from that person? You will hear, well, no, because I didn't want to make them uncomfortable. I just, you know, it's just fear. right, is just fear, and that's a boogeyman. And so what I'm suggesting to women and girls is to own your power and tell fear to get aside so that you can take care of yourself.
I need to drill down a little bit more on that. Also, I need to let Tina in Frederick, Sib in Woodbridge, and Monica in Largo. Hang on. Do not hang up. We're going to be taking your phone calls next as we talk about the lemons to lemonade part of our lives. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. On Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. More of your phone calls are next. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, Glasshouse Radio, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU, and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about helping you to move from the woe is me part of life to emotional and spiritual empowerment. My guest is Dr. Nicole Cutts, clinical psychologist and author of her second novel, The Adventures of Isabel, Journey to Orphalese. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone line. Sib, calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for calling, Sib. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thank you for the show. I appreciate it. So I'm not going to sit up here and say I'm perfect or anything like that, but my simple view is this. Whenever anybody gets any kind of difficulty, no matter if it's financially or whatever, you always got to look at somebody who's less fortunate than you. And you look at how many people just in our area are homeless out there. No, you know, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't have a warm blanket, a shelter, a roof over their head. It's very simple, I know, but it is what it is. That's how I, you know, try to look at it. You know, always remind yourself, hey, you know, look at the unfortunate ones who have less than you.
There you go. It's thank you so much, Sib. It's the there but for the grace of God go I. And Dr. Cutts, we hear that quite a bit, but as Sib was suggesting, perhaps we don't hear it enough or do not consider that enough when something bad happens to us.
Yeah, what Sib is talking about is a good practice. It cultivates gratitude. And having gratitude and cultivating gratitude is an antidote to feeling like a victim and experiencing that feeling of woe is me, right? So that's actually a very wise cognitive move to make. And I encourage people to think about three good things they've done for the day that show themselves that they care about themselves, and to think of five things for which they're grateful every day. Right. And what Sib is talking about also is we fall into feeling down and feeling victimized and less than when we compare ourselves to others. And it's really easy in this age of social media to go on Instagram and Facebook and say, oh, well, you know, they look at them having a good time. Well, of course, we don't post on those things when we're feeling, you know, yucky. So we compare and then we end up feeling badly, which is a bad practice. But what we don't do often enough, if you're going to compare across the board, right? Don't compare yourself always to people who have more. Think about the fact that, you know what I have is way more than what other people have. Personally, I think it's best to not get into comparison. But if you do and you're feeling down, you need to challenge yourself to say, why am I only comparing in this one direction?
Tina, calling from Frederick, Maryland. Thanks for hanging on, Tina. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to, I was just thinking about my son, and my son is stuck in that victim mentality because a lot of bad things happened to him, but it was by his choice. So he blames me for childhood decisions, so I went into the military for 4 years to better our lives for both of us. He blames me for leaving him with my mother for those 4 years, even though I came back. Then when I got married, he said I chose somebody over him. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing that to me for a long time. And, you know, now it really plays on me because he's my only son.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to move from that situation or that feeling with him. And my mother just say, you know, he's been depressed and he doesn't want to, because he has a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of combination of things on that. But he carries me, and I'm really the only one that's, you know, doing something in his life. His father's not in his life. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we kind of got not a good relationship for him to be my only son. And I'm seeking help, but he don't want to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just feels like I won't accept.
Hmm.
Yeah. What I done was for the service. That's the only thing I did, but I came back home.
Well, Tina, let's see what Dr. Cutts has to say, because Dr. Cutts, at least in the two examples that her son, that she has shared with us, it seems like her son mm-hmm. is pointing at
mm-hmm.
her
yes.
instead of looking at the broader circumstances that he is in.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Tina, thank you for calling in. One thing that you did mention and I was thinking about was that sometimes this sort of negative thinking can be a symptom of depression. It can also make depression worse, can exacerbate it. So, you know, I would never say to somebody, you know, if they're caught in negative thinking, oh, you just need to do this or just need to do that. If it's prolonged, if it's affecting your life, I think that you should get assessed and see if you have depression. And it sounds like what you're saying is he's not willing to do that. It's not uncommon that children blame their parents for circumstances that they are in. And the deal is that we get the parents that we get, and they often do the best that they can. Now, you can stay in that place of blaming your parents for how you feel or where you are in your life. But the problem with that is that you stay in that place and you stay miserable. A lot of times we benefit from blaming other people because it takes the responsibility off of us, and responsibility is scary. So we prefer to say, well, I can't do anything about it. So I would encourage you to continue as you have been to get your own help for any feelings that you have around this. And maybe, you know, just lovingly encourage your son. Listen, I'm sorry that those things happened. I'm sorry how you feel about them. And I want you to get better. So maybe, you know, you now need to, you know, take matters into your own hands and maybe get some help from a professional.
Okay. Tina, thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Monica, calling from Largo. Thanks for calling, Monica. What's on your mind?
Hi. I want to say thank you for this show. I've learned a lot already, and you've covered a lot of things that actually apply.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have been a victim, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am a person who tries to look at the positive things. So, I'm getting better, like, with being more assertive. I talked to someone the other day who had mentioned being more assertive, and I saw how that actually does affect the outcomes of things. And
mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. So my question, concern, or expression is just one of, for someone who's been through a lot, emotional abuse, a lot of different abuses, and who's trying to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I take responsibility for being afraid
mm-hmm.
and showing fear. And because of that, of my showing fear, people took that in a wrong way, or in a way that they basically, it's like they took it to another level that mm-hmm. made it worse for me.
Yes.
So I do accept that responsibility of showing that fear, not being mm-hmm. as assertive as I can. But I'm trying to, you know, be more expressive
mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of things that I've gone through, and I hope to be able to share something with someone else, because I've been intimidated mm-hmm. by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been verbal, or more than verbal, it's been more nonverbal intimidation. Well, and I think if you call that out when you see it, mm-hmm. when people are doing these nonverbals, it helps.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, Monica, you said that you hope that you can help people someday with that. You're helping people right now by sharing your story. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you said responsibility and not fault. Okay.
Right.
Because it's really important when we examine ourselves and our behavior that we not view this as our fault. You know, there are times when maybe we didn't speak up and we could have. That doesn't mean it's your fault. It means that you strive to do better and that you just do the best that you can. And under those circumstances in the past, you did the best that you could then. That's the past. And now, today, you're moving forward, embracing your power, right? And
yeah.
And speaking up when your senses tell you this person is acting inappropriately or crossing my boundaries. Because being assertive really just means knowing how you feel and being willing to express that mm-hmm. without fear.
Monica, thank you so much
for
talking to us.
And
good luck as you continue on this self-actualization journey for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Fredericksburg, Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes. You were just talking about, like, feeling woe is me mm-hmm. and how do you get over that. I just feel very stuck in my life.
Mm.
Obviously, I want to improve myself and I want to move forward and feel like I'm making progress, and I don't feel that way. I'm
mm-hmm.
not really sure how to begin, where to start.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people who feel like that. Lisa, in terms of in my practice as a success coach, that's one of the reasons why people come to me often, because they are feeling stuck. I think you've got to start with probably one area of your life at a time. You need to examine what it is that you feel you want to be doing, be guided by your instincts. I'm guessing you've probably been blocked by fear at a few turns here or there. Is that correct?
I guess it could be fear. That and I guess money is an issue, of course.
Yeah, I mean, money can be an issue, but you know, there's always some place that you can start. You know, you might overwhelm yourself thinking you have to, you know, shoot to the head of the class or the line or, you know, whatever the vision is. But I think you have to first articulate what your vision for your life is. You know, how do you want to be living in all areas of your life, and start to address some of those things. Maybe start with some smaller things, things that, you know, for which money is not the block, but even when money is the block, you can still devise your ultimate vision and still create a plan to help you to overcome that block. And, you know, being stuck can just be a place that you are before you break out or before you have a breakthrough. So try not to let feeling stuck get you down. Go into that and see what it is that might be holding you back, circumstances that you control, not things that are outside of your control.
What do you think
okay.
your next move might be, Lisa?
That's the problem. I don't know. I think I would like to go back to school
mm-hmm.
so that maybe I can figure out what I do want to do with my life and how to improve it that way.
Well, I would, you know, admonish you to do what I suggest a lot of people do. Start to see yourself as the heroine of your own life. Start to see how access that inner strong heroine archetype. What does she want? You know, how will she guide you? She might say, hey, we don't have time for this fear thing. Your instinct tells you you want to go to school. I'm a big advocate of following your instincts, trusting in yourself. And don't feel that if you start down one path that has to be it. But the important thing is to make a move. So if your instinct leads you in that direction, step in that direction until you get information that tells you to step in a different direction. But then you're in movement when you're doing that.
Okay. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for talking to us and your phone call, and certainly good luck to you. I need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about heroes, heroines, and villains.
Mm.
Also, I didn't want to forget the part that all of that plays into our discussion about this Me Too movement and the people that are involved. So please stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about moving from lemons to lemonade, from woe is me to emotional and spiritual empowerment. I'm here with Dr. Nicole Cutts, clinical psychologist and author of her second novel in the series, The Adventures of Isabel. Number two is Journey to Orphalese. So before the break, we were talking about heroes, heroines, and the like. But metaphorically speaking, that I think it works, but in the real world, no one has a cape. We can't fly. We're not invisible. We can't read minds. And I don't have one of those spandex suits, and I probably wouldn't look good in one anyway.
I think you would.
Thank you. but with that said, how do you find your inner hero, your inner heroine?
Well, that's a very good question. But I distinguish heroes and heroines from superheroes and superheroines. Heroes and heroines are mortal, right? So they don't have those magical powers. I'm not suggesting that we have those magical powers. We have special powers. They might not be to fly or to have, breathe underwater like my favorite, Aquaman. But we do have powers, and we can access them when we access that inner strength, that inner nobility, and we embark on the quest to live our best life, really, is what it's about. So I don't expect to suddenly fly. Heroes and heroines can be, they're mortal. They can meet their, and they will meet their physical demise, but it's what you do with the time that you're on the planet.
In our discussion about the Me Too movement, there's been so much focus on the villains. The Bill Cosbys, the Harvey Weinsteins, so when you have women, and in some cases men, who have been the targets of sexual harassment and sexual assault, this is much more serious than a flat tire and a broken and a broken down lawnmower. Sometimes the emotional and spiritual recovery is lifelong.
That's true.
And so back to the heroes, when you're dealing with these villains, where is that inner hero, that inner closure, beyond the Dr. Nicole Cutts therapy that so many people would need?
Well, you're absolutely right, and the recovery from assault or continual harassment is something that I do think that accessing your inner hero or heroine can apply to, and what that has to do with is having confidence and a belief in yourself that you can continue, that you can recover, that you can go on. And I don't think that there's one size fits all for everybody. And as I mentioned a few beats back about always doing your best, is that, keep your expectations, even with your recovery, even with your reactions to things, in that realm of I'm going to do my best, and then that's all I can do, right? So I'm going to access as much strength as I can muster in this moment. And I'm going to avail myself of the help that I need, and do the hard work, because, unfortunately, a lot of victims of sexual assault and violence, now we're talking more than, harassment, we're talking actual violence, That recovery is a very difficult thing, right? But it's like recovery from so many other things, right? It takes time. And you need to be gentle with yourself. When I talk about accessing that inner hero and heroine and being your, you know, giving your best, that's not an invitation to beat yourself up and to tell yourself where you should be. You are where you are. You try your best and you leave the rest, but you have to have compassion for yourself even in that process.
But so in your book, you have heroes, heroines, but okay. So you have a pirate. Now, when you tell me about mm-hmm. a pirate, I think, arg. Mm-hmm. I think
he does not say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but
of course that's a pirate word. That's arg.
Right. Yeah. Yeah mm-hmm. But that's okay. But most people think of short of Johnny Depp, all pirates are villains. Okay.
Well,
it is, That's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Is every pirate, metaphorically speaking, a villain?
People are complex. This pirate in my book, in Journey to Orphalese, he is the main nemesis of Princess Isabel and their Royal Navy, which is on their way to rescue their colony of Orphalese. He is the main bad guy.
Well, see?
But when you read the book, you find out that he, like all human beings, has a story and has some complexity. And there's a deeper meaning. Now, have you ever heard the expression, hurt people hurt people?
It's like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
Exactly. Right? Just another example of the hero or heroine's quest. So, but that doesn't mean that, oh, you poor thing, you had a bad life, I'm going to let you scuttle my ship and take my booty. No. Pirate's booty.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you allow yourself to be victimized by what bad thing has happened to them or is making them act badly. But you can have some compassion for a villain, but that doesn't mean that you put yourself in harm's way of the villain.
But see, and in the example that I use in each situation, I talked about your emotional reaction to things mm-hmm. happening. But in this particular case, the emotional reaction to people is much, much more difficult to manage because, like you said, people are complex.
Mm-hmm.
A broken lawnmower can be fixed or replaced.
Mm-hmm.
A flat tire can be fixed or replaced. A credit card can be paid off and cut up, and mm-hmm. that's the financial conversation for right. another show.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got pirates and villains in your life, complex though they may be,
you have to recognize them.
So yeah, but if somebody tells you you're a snake, then snakes bite.
You need to stay away from that. If somebody straight up tells you that they're a snake, then I would listen to them and I would get away. Sometimes it's not as easy to recognize the pirates as it is to recognize, I'm not afraid of snakes, but for most people, snake, mm-hmm. bad, scary. But human beings are not usually so obviously one thing or the other. My definition of a pirate, metaphorically, how they show up in real life, is anybody who is trying to take you off your course, anybody who's trying to make you deviate from your mission, your happiness, your fulfillment. If they don't add to that, then they're trying to take you off course. They're trying to take something away from you, and you have to recognize that. You might not always recognize it right away, and I'll just, you know, little bits, not a spoiler, but our princess has an ambivalent relationship with this pirate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you find out more about who he is by the end of the book, and I'm not going to tell you what happens between them, but ultimately, the power rests with you to take care of yourself. Nobody else is responsible for your happiness or getting you to your destination.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about being more assertive.
Mm-hmm.
Is being more assertive for everyone? Because personalities are different. People are raised in different circumstances.
It's more difficult for some people, but yes, it's definitely for everyone. Now, how you do it, there can be subtle differences, but if you are not honoring how you feel and not setting boundaries when you feel that you need to, then you're not taking care of yourself. You're not being assertive. it doesn't mean being brash and loud and aggressive. You can speak in a very quiet voice and still say no.
Mm. Final thoughts about moving from the lemons to lemonade?
My final thoughts are that it's not easy. It's easy for me to say. It's something that has to be practiced. It takes time. But the rewards of doing that and the rewards of seeing yourself as a hero or heroine and being on the quest are many.
Mm. Well, I would say have the pirate walk the plank, fill the sails, turn into the wind.
What if he's cute?
Well, then the sharks will have a delicious looking meal. I can't with you, Dr. Cutts. I tell you, it's always good for your therapist to have a sense of humor. And listen, as always, this information for reaching out to Dr. Cutts at cutsconsulting.com will be on our website. And have a great weekend. It's going to be rainy this weekend. Be careful out there as you are moving around this weekend. Look, no more heat wave, a wet wave. That's what we have to deal with. Dr. Cutts, always good to see you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, September 7th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.